The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. Thank you for leading us in that time of prayer. I couldn't help but think as we were singing about holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That sure puts our problems that are temporary in a whole different perspective. And so we're going to open God's Word in just one moment. But before we do, just want to share a couple of announcements. I know you've been hearing from us about our plans starting next Sunday to move to two services. And really, as I've said from the beginning of this whole pandemic and these unprecedented times that we are in, is that really all of our plans are contingency plans at best. And this is such a fluid, changing situation. We've been committed never to make unilateral decisions in isolation, but we've worked with our board, our regathering task force, in addition to our district and other community pastors to stay in step with what we're hearing. And with those things in mind, I went away for a couple weeks, came back, and I believe we need to delay our plans for two services at this time. We want to give some time to once again review our guidelines in light of some of the recent updates that we're hearing from Peoria County, our own city that we're in. We know we're citizens of heaven, but also we're citizens here in this county. So we want to review those guidelines because it's our greatest desire to continue gathering. We want to continue gathering both online, but in person. That's our desire. So we want to make sure that we have all the necessary safeguards in place to enable us to do that. We do believe a time's coming where we're going to need two services. But also there's other things that we have to consider as well. So we're going to review that this week with our leadership. And then I just wanted to share this, especially for those I've heard from many who are eager to come back with the possibility of some more precautions in place. And I want to thank you for following the guidelines that we put into place. So we're going to revisit that, and I'm going to send out an update to our entire church family this week after we have a chance to talk with our leadership in light of what we're seeing. And so stay tuned for that. That will go out on all of our platforms. We'll send it out through social media if you follow us there. We'll send it out through email. We'll send it out as broadly and as that we can to keep you up to date. But especially for you at home who've shared with me, I want to come back, but I would like some extra precautions. We have heard you, and we're working very diligent to make sure that we stay in step because we want to keep being able to gather. And so thank you for your prayers. So many of you have said so often to me, and it means so much, I'm praying for wisdom. And I so, so appreciate that. And our leaders do. And God answers your prayer. And so we're so very excited for that. So I want to put that on the radar for you. An update is forthcoming this week. But as of right now, we're going to delay our plans for next Sunday to go to two services. And we will be updating you further as we continue to process this situation. I do have one more announcement. Dave's going to put up a slide here. We have a children's ministry outdoor event. Part of our initial guidelines were we recognized we weren't bringing children's ministry into the building in light of the need for social distancing and things like that. We want to see what the school system does first, but we do have some activities. We had one a few weeks ago that are outdoor socially distanced games. We had a wonderful group show up, and so we have one of these coming August 2nd, which is next Sunday, 5 to 8 p.m. We're going to be doing camp games. So some really fun, if you don't know camp games, they're some of the best games that you can do, 5 to 8 p.m. here on site on our property outside. So I want to make you aware of that. So 5 to 8 p.m. coming up, great way for some connection in a safe way as well. So thank you for that. Let's take just a moment and ask God's blessing on this time of opening His Word together. Father in heaven, thank you once again for your love for us, your presence here today. We just pause because we want to empty our hearts of anything that would distract from you speaking through your word. And that includes me as I attempt through my own humanity to communicate your truthful word. May I not get in the way. May I not be a distraction. And it includes all of us as hearers. I'm a hearer as well. We come not with a position of pride We don't stand over your word. Rather, we stand under your word because you are God. We are not. And you love us. So we do acknowledge that there's a lot of things around us that are constantly affecting our emotions, our thoughts, our relationships. Those things are realities. But what we want to impact us today is your word. We don't want to just react to what's going on around us. We want to be changed by the word of the Lord today. We can only do that by the Holy Spirit. So may the Spirit of Jesus Christ, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts to see what we can't see, to respond faithfully to you as you might speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to take a moment before we get into the message. I was thinking back this week on some things and times in my life when certain things were really big things in the moment. But then later, looking back on them, they were pretty small and insignificant. And kind of what sparked these thoughts was, yes, we went out and bought a cat this week. That was my COVID pandemic impulse. And to make it sound better, we adopted a cat. So don't look down on us, right? So we got a little kitten, and one of the things that Jennifer brought home when she got the kitten was a little laser pointer they had. And if you've never played with a kitten with a laser pointer, you're missing out on life. Go to YouTube. It's some of the greatest moments. Probably driving the cat insane, but it's one of the greatest moments. But as I was playing with the laser pointer, I found myself telling my boys, there was this like season when I was in junior high or high school that everybody had to have a laser pointer. I don't know if you remember that. Maybe it was just the school I was at, but like it was a very short season. All of a sudden, like every kid had a laser pointer in their pocket. I have no idea why, but I remember coming home and Christmas, I got to get a laser pointer. Some of you might not remember that, but you might remember yo-yos. And it seems like every generation, the yo-yo comes out of nowhere. Everybody's got to get a yo-yo, and then it disappears. Then the next generation comes back. Another example, I'll never forget when I had to have the pair of tennis shoes that were the pump-ups. You know what I'm talking about? And it was right in the junior high period where I couldn't jump and I was short and my feet were bigger than the rest of my body because I was about to grow. But I felt that if I could just have the pump-ups and I could pump some air into them, I would be able to jump higher. I would be a better athlete. I look back on those moments that were very, very big. Like I had to have this to be a happy young boy. Now they're incredibly significant. In fact, just shortly after those moments, they became very, very insignificant. Things that are really big right now often become really small a few years down the road. I had a mentor tell me this. When I first started in ministry, I was facing a situation that felt like the walls were caving in. I was stressed. It was affecting me and my emotions. It was affecting me in every possible way. I wasn't sleeping well. And that person had some wisdom to say to me, years down the road, keep in mind you're going to look back on this circumstance and it's going to seem really small. Right now, it seems really big to you. And I would venture to say that, I don't know, there's no way of quantifying it, but I would say the majority of the times that is the case in our lives. Situations that seem so huge, situations that stir up opinions and emotions and things right now that are so big, we look back on, they don't seem that big anymore. And I'm going to look at a passage. I want us to look at a passage in Romans chapter 14 in just a moment where Paul is precisely addressing this issue. From an eternal perspective, there will come a day that we stand before the Almighty Eternal God. And when we do, certain situations in the here and now that seem to be huge will seem really, really small. And this is a word that we need to hear all times, but especially in this crazy 2020 time period that we find ourselves living in. But before we get into Romans 14, I want to invite you to look again at Romans 12, 1 through 2, which really sets the theme for Romans 12 all the way through the end of the book. This is this moment where Paul, after teaching about what is the gospel, what is the truths of the Christian faith, Paul then applies it and he says this. Let's look at it again together. Romans 12, 1 through 2. He says, as And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Another translator says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Rather, let it be the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, by renewing our minds through God's word, be what changes how we think, which will change how we live in our current times. But he bases all that on the reality that if Jesus Christ has become your Savior and he saved you from your sins, you've trusted in him, the way we worship him, number one, is not by the external things we do for others to see, but rather by offering our bodies. He leaves nothing off the table. That means everything to God because of gratitude and love for what he's done for us. And then we follow him. We let him shape us. So Paul sets that as the theme, and then everything he says after this is about that being renewed. He addresses very specific issues in the church of Rome a couple thousand years ago, approximately. Situations much like what we are facing today. And if we'll listen, I believe we can see what it means to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, not in the way of the world during a time such as this. Main idea that I would present to you today from Romans as I've looked at this passage 14, the entire chapter, it's this. God rejects a condemning and judgmental spirit. This is what Paul is dealing with. Commentators agree. The church at Rome is a divided church right now. And Paul is pastorally under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writing for those Roman Christians. But he's also writing for Christians in this century today. And if I could summarize what I believe God is saying is this, God rejects a condemning and judgmental spirit. I want to invite you to open your Bibles or follow along on the screen or on your phone. I'm going to read the entire chapter. I love to say that the only thing that you can guarantee and take to the bank that I say 100% is true is what I'm about to read. It's the Word of God. And His Word is always faithful, and I attempt to faithfully apply it. Let's hear the Word of the Lord together, starting in verse 1. Paul says, "Accept other believers who are weak in faith. Don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. Verse 7. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will confess
give praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So, let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. It's the word of the Lord. This passage is a timely passage. One of the things we can see very clearly here is Paul is pastorally dealing with a church that is dividing, and a little bit of historical context helps us understand what's going on in this church in Rome. Well, one thing we know historically is that in AD 49, Claudius the emperor expelled both the Jewish people, but also Jewish Christians from Rome. And he did so because a series of riots that occurred. So basically, he expelled, which really the predominant makeup of the church as it began was first Jewish Christians, then Gentile Christians. But now all the Jewish Christians have been driven out of Rome for 5 years. And then after Claudius dies, now the Jewish Christians come back, but they come back to a different church, a church full of Gentile Christians who are coming to the faith from a whole different background than the Jewish Christians are. And there's a real challenge. Can these two differing groups, who both have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ only for salvation, can they work together? Can they stay united in the love of God and in the mission of God? Or will they hopelessly be lost to be torn apart? See, the issues that are taking place that are causing the divisions in the Roman church here between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians are non-essential issues. And this is very important because Paul in Galatians confronts a sect in the church, which people often refer to as Judaizers, this group that believed that first you had to become a Jew before you could become a Christian. And they believed that the gospel really wasn't just salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was also all these other regulations and these other things that had to be done in order to truly be a Christian. Paul writes against that, and he calls it a heresy. He says it's another gospel. It's not the true gospel that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in Rome, these Jewish Christians, they love the Lord. They're trusting in Him. They've surrendered their lives to Him, but they have customs and things, non-essential ways of worshiping. Same is true with the Gentile Christians. They love the Lord. They're coming from a different background, but there's non-essential issues that are becoming a distraction. And Paul is writing really clearly for the church to see that God rejects a condemning and judgmental spirit. As a result of the differences, rather than loving and accepting each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, they began to tear each other apart. They began to view the other group as lesser Christian. They began to look down on each other. And Paul warns against this condemning, judgmental spirit. But Paul, in effect, is saying, you must view each other. You must just not put up with each other. You must view your brother or sister who disagrees on this non-essential issue as equal to you. Not as lesser, but as equal in the faith, loved by God. You must not look down. So what does a judgmental spirit look like? And I want to share with you some characteristics that we see in this passage. And the first is this, and we can see this in verses 1 through 9. A judgmental spirit majors on minors. Becomes so preoccupied in non-essential things. Things that are minor become so important that those things that are major are lost. This division that takes place between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, Paul gives examples. There's a group that's saying, hey, we can eat anything. Because we know that the Lord himself, and Paul even sides with this view, the Lord himself said that all foods are clean. But to those Jewish Christians, they had done these very things to follow the Old Testament law, and now they're not doing them to be saved, but they can't just bring themselves yet to start eating those meats that were prohibited. So instead, they continue to follow these customs, not to be saved, but they're doing so because they love Jesus now. And there's their conscience won't quite let them do that. There's many different ways we see that. You can see that practically in my own family. Because of a history of alcoholism, my father, when God saved him and delivered him, completely abstinence, no alcohol ever, to never, ever, ever taste alcohol again because moderation was never, ever possible. So that's similar to with how the Church of the Nazarene has embraced that for love for others. We don't condemn, but wanting to help others. So there's those issues that Paul's talking about here. Eating anything versus eating only vegetables was dividing the church. Paul speaks to that very issue. Another example he gives is some consider one day holy, others consider the other day holy. Now, we don't know entirely what was going on here, but it seems more likely that the Jewish Christians wanted to worship on Saturday, because Saturday is the seventh day of the week. That's the traditional Sabbath. But the Gentile Christians are following the custom of the first Jewish Christians, the apostles, who worshiped on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, because Jesus was raised on a Sunday. And there's this debate, which is better, who is right? And the issue that Paul is addressing here, you see, there's something more important than being right. Paul is talking about the danger of a judgmental and a critical condemning spirit. We must love, and we must accept each other. He says we need to do this because we don't live to ourselves, but we live to honor the Lord. And he says, we belong to the Lord, and Christ died and was raised for this very purpose, that we might live to honor him. So on non-essential issues, we must not look down on each other. Some of you might say, hey, what is an essential issue? It's a good question. The church has sought to articulate in the earliest creeds of the church that we have that go way, way back to the first couple centuries are a great place to go. In fact, even in our articulation of faith in the Church of the Nazarene, our articles of faith are basically the Apostles and Nicene Creed. It's taking into consideration what Christians have always believed about who God is, about salvation by grace through faith. It's the core doctrines of the church. We hold to those firmly, but there are so many non-essential issues that creep their way into the church. Paul says, do not judge one another. Do not have a condemning, critical spirit. You must accept each other. You must respect these differences. So a judgmental spirit majors on minors. Another characteristic is this: a judgmental spirit will not stand before the judgment seat of God. You know, Paul makes the most powerful argument here that was sobering for me to read again. Whenever there's debates and whenever there's tensions in our culture or in the church, it's so easy to get caught up in defending your side, right? and defending on this non-essential issue what you believe is right, that this tension and our focus becomes all about the other person's argument. How could they even stand for that position? What is wrong with them? And it's so easy to be so condemning to those on the opposite side of us that we fail to remember an important truth. And this is what Paul does. Take your eyes off of the other person's position. Take your eyes off of your position. And remember, Paul says, we all will appear. He uses the phrase, each one of us. He makes it singular and personal. Each one of us will appear before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of us will give an account for those attitudes, those words, and those actions. See, Paul is saying a judgmental, condemning spirit on non-essential issues, it will not stand on the day that we appear before the Lord. What a sobering truth that is. You see, I won't give an account for how well I just held to my position. It matters that we base our lives on God's word. It matters that we seek truth. But humility wouldn't hurt us as we do that. And we also ought to remember that when I stand before God, it's not just going to be, were you on the right side of this? Here, there was a right side. Paul calls it strong faith. It's that Jesus himself said, we can eat any food we want. But this wasn't an essential issue. And Paul's whole argument is you're going to stand before Jesus, and it's not going to be just that if you were on the right side of the debate, it's going to be how did you treat the person on the other side of the debate? Did you love them? Did you listen to them? Did you divide the church over this? And me reading this and taking it in, it's, oh, Lord, you are my Savior. You're also my judge. You're the perfect judge. I don't want anyone else judging me. I want him to judge me. He knows me. He loves me. He will judge me by the standard of his righteousness that he gave his life for, that I've placed my trust in. But I'll give an account as a follower of Jesus to Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to hurt Jesus on that day. I want to please him. And that's what Paul's saying is, he's saying, look, if you're going to eat, he says this, eat to the Lord. If you're not going to eat, eat, don't eat to the Lord. The purpose is this. Don't just try to be right. You're doing everything for the Lord because you want to please him. And the Lord knows our heart. So don't hold to your position in opposition and condescending to those on the other side. Don't think lowly. Don't think less of people on these non-essential issues. But rather, do what you must do as you walk before God with a clear conscience. And do it to the Lord. Don't do it to other people. Don't do it for yourself. Do it to honor the Lord. And Paul says, if you do that, you'll be accepted to the Lord. I have to ask the question on that, because the question that's been bothering me in my own heart this week, what issues are really big in my heart right now? That when I stand myself before the Lord, before that judgment seat, that are going to seem really, really small. I'm not going to give an account for what someone else does or did or said. I'll give an account for what I did and what I said. And it reminds me that some issues that may be really big in my emotions right now or really big in my opinions right now, stop and ask yourself, is this an essential issue to the faith? Are the emotions you have, are they because of your desire to please the Lord that you're so fired up? Or are they to defend your position? It's not bad to have a position. In fact, Paul here doesn't discourage it. You know, he's telling each person, search out this matter. And in fact, he's giving us really how to create a culture where all of us can listen to one another. And as we listen to each other's positions, it makes it possible for each one of us maybe to hold some things in our position a little more loosely, because we realize after listening to our brother or sister and searching scripture and seeking to obey and honor Christ that maybe our position shouldn't be right where it is or as far as it is in one direction. There's hope. But a judgmental spirit will not stand before the judgment seat of God. So Paul says, I want you to do something else. Decide to live in such a way that you won't cause another person to stumble. Decide to live in such a way that what you do, even if you have freedom to do something, And this is an important principle. Just because I'm free to do something in my conscience before God doesn't mean it is right. If what I do causes my brother or sister of a different position to stumble in their walk with God. Paul says, if I cause my brother or sister to stumble, even though I'm on the right side of an issue, I've sinned. And I'll answer to God for that. It's a sobering, sobering thought. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he says, if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God. The final truth that I'd like to share with you about a judgmental spirit is this. A judgmental spirit tears apart the work of God over non-essential issues. This is exactly the point that Paul is making. He even says, do not tear apart the work of God over these non-essential issues. We must follow our conscience and respect other people for following their conscience. On these non-essential issues, there's room. And God is more interested in the character of our heart in these moments than just that we're on the right side of these particular issues. He says this, he says, those who are strong should be willing to limit their liberty. Even though they feel free to do something, they should be willing to hold back or just to do that before the Lord because they don't want to cause a brother or sister who's weaker to stumble. And those who are weak, he says, don't you look down. Don't you think you're better? He said, don't look down on others who are doing the very thing you feel in your conscience you can't do. But rather, he says, we should all live to please God. We should all be all in to please God. You see, there is a real danger that a judgmental spirit that majors on minors can destroy or hinder the very work that God intends to do through us. And I'm a firm believer that God doesn't need us. God's work will go on. He'll find somebody. He'll find a people who will love him. But I want to be a part of those people, and I know you do too. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to major on a minor. I don't want a small issue to be so big right now, but when I stand before Jesus, it becomes so small. Rather, we must be known by walking in the unity of the Spirit. The kingdom of God is living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the main thing, walking with him. The good news is we don't have to hold on to a judgmental spirit. And I think if we're honest, this is one of the ways that the world squeezes us into its mold. I don't care how saintly you are. We live in a culture that's so divided and things are constantly at each other. And no matter how long you've been following Jesus, in a moment we can be squeezed into that mold and we develop this critical, condemning, judgmental spirit. But there's good news. There's good news for you and for me, no matter what side you're on or if you're not on a side or who knows. There's good news, and that is this. We don't have to hold on to a judgmental spirit. Judgmental spirit, all it does is hurt us and sour our attitude and hinder our ability to love. But we can embrace a new spirit in Christ. I want you to read with me 1 John 4:16 through 21. John says this, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Listen, that's that day we stand before Jesus. Because of this love in us, we're not afraid. When we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that is a glorious day. Not only is he our perfect judge, he is our Savior. He said, in this world, we are like Jesus. We reject this condemning spirit on non-essential issues. We embrace the love of Christ. And he says this, guess what? There's no fear in love. But there is fear in a condemning spirit. So many times those judgmental spirits and factions are motivated by fear from both sides. But there is a love of Christ that takes away all fear. He says perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So how do we come to walk in this love? He says we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. We love because he first loved us. So I want to invite you to return to that love. The world is characterized by people holding on to their positions firmly on non-essential issues, entrenching, throwing fiery arrows at the other side. The church often becomes like the world. We're not perfect people. But then we hear the voice of God saying, there's this greater hope we have. Once again, we return to his love. We commit to hold on to his love. So I want to invite you to pray with me as the worship team comes. So if you want to bow your head and close your eyes, I just want to ask a couple questions. And I'd like to do that just, if you could bow your head and close your eyes, just to block out any distractions around you. I'm not going to give you answers because I'm not the Holy Spirit. But I want to create a space where I can share some questions that I think the Holy Spirit's asking me. Perhaps there's questions that he would ask you. What do you think the Holy Spirit might be saying to you? What might the Holy Spirit be saying to you about your attitudes during this time we find ourselves in? What might the Holy Spirit be saying to you about your response to the divisions in our culture today? And what might the Holy Spirit want to say to you about your attitude to those in your life with differing opinions? Is there anything in your life that is really big right now? And if you for a moment would allow yourself to think about that moment, which is coming, when you and I and each one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, before his judgment seat, the perfect righteous judge. Is there anything in your life right now that is really, really big? That in that moment will be really, really small. I encourage you, if the Holy Spirit puts his convicting finger upon that area, I would encourage you, don't hold on to that. I don't think it matters where you are on an issue or where I am, which side you're on. I think we all have room for confession. I know I do. For when a condemning critical spirit develops. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word today. And Lord, our desire is to not been to go too far in what we say, but not stop short. But we know there's one Holy Spirit, it's you. You are the one who is both the comforter and the one who convinces us both of our need, our sin, but also of your righteousness. And in this moment right now, we know as followers of Jesus, you do not demand that we become perfect people, but rather you look at our hearts and you want us to love you completely and love one another. And you're looking at our hearts, Lord. And I just pray, Father, would you help us to not resist your grace today? These are difficult times. They're difficult for all of us. Doesn't matter who we are, where we are. There's not a one of us who's not struggling with these times. The world around us, Father, it's so, so factioned and dividing. And Father, would you help the church? Father, help us to accept each other when these non-essential issues, help us to accept and to love each other. And Father, by your grace, might we who are strong be willing to limit our liberties, knowing that just because we have freedom to do something doesn't mean we should. Because when we stand before you, it's also going to be, how did we treat those of weaker faith? On the other hand, Father, those who may be weaker, Lord, help us not to look down on those. Help us not to condescend. We're doing right if we're following our conscience and we're seeking to honor you by what we're doing. Help us not to look down to those who don't hold to our standard, but in love to accept and serve each other. Jesus, we thank you. We love you. Hold us in your love. Walk with us. Would you glorify your name this week in our lives? It's in Jesus' name we pray.